I know we usually stand for the reading of the text, but this morning, if you just stay seated and just give me a minute here to kind of explain where I'm plan on going this morning. We've been going through Luke. I'm going to take a little bit of a sidestep this morning, a little bit more along the lines of where we were at on Sunday night last week. So I feel like the Lord has really worked on my heart and showed me where we're at right now. Not just us as a church, but Christians everywhere. And it's not just Christians, it's the whole world. The best way to say it is heaviness. There's a real spirit of heaviness. This year has been an absolutely wild year. It seems to be more and more out of control. I'll never forget when all the rumors were going around about the virus and they were talking about this COVID thing and that it was going to get worse and all this kind of stuff. The day it really hit me what was happening was I was at jiu-jitsu. My coach is here this morning. A couple of my training partners, by the way, are happy to have you guys. And if you guys don't like the message or got an issue with me, you can take it up with them or Casey. all right. I told Casey that on the way in, and he said, yeah, so long as we're not the ones mad at you. I said, I didn't think of it from that perspective. I kind of got a little bit of a bond with these guys. I trust them. But I'll never forget that day I went in there, and Coach said to me, Mike, we're going to have to close down. And I thought, of all the people in the world I know that keeps going and never quits and fights through anything, it's him. And I did not think he'd shut down. He says, I don't have a choice. And I was so mad because I need this to stay sane. Do you understand? I'm going to leave, and I remember saying to the guys, stay ahead of the zombies. I was so bitter. I was so upset. I went and got my car, and I thought, this is stupid. And the day came not long thereafter that I actually had to make a choice I never thought I'd ever have to make. And I had to consider whether or not we needed to shut down church. And you know we did for a little while, and I don't care what the other guys do or don't think of the decisions I made, other pastors all weighing in on each other's business. This was crazy decisions that had to be made, literally life-changing decisions, very scary. And if that wasn't enough, then the news is going crazy and all the liberals are going crazy, and then you're seeing more and more on the news all the right-wingers going crazy, and you're just chronically every day bombarded with nothing but negativity and aggression and quarreling and debating. And here's the problem. The problem is, we don't really know if there is an end in sight or not. Now they're trying to get you all worked up again that there's a rise going and, you know, we fought against our governor and everybody, that all the right wingers are all about getting our governor under control and getting her off our back. And then she's like, ha ha, a couple more tricks up my sleeve, called the Department of Health and Human Services. And we're going to go try to get it done a different way. And now they're going to contact trace you if you go to the restaurant and all the rest of this stuff. And it just doesn't seem to end. Now, I know who I'm speaking to this morning. I realize we don't have a bunch of liberals in the room.
Right.
Okay, I know that. I don't have to preach to you about voting. Because if you vote, you're not going to go vote for the most liberal, anti-God person you could vote for, the better of the two options. This isn't about any of that this morning. Because why would I preach to the choir when there's stuff we actually need help with that we don't already have all together? And I want to just tell you this again, even if President Trump gets back into office, that is not the solution to America's problems. Do you want to know why? He's been in office the last 4 years, and you see how the liberals reacted, so you think they're going to back off just as he gets back in for another 4 years? I'm trying to tell you this morning that your hope is not in this world. I don't have a lot of good things to tell you about this world. You know, life is tough. And I'm gonna try to give you some help a little bit here in just a minute. I'm gonna try to pull us out of this and leave you with something good that will bless you and encourage you. That's my goal this morning. But my introduction's not really all that blessing and encouraging. My introduction, I don't have much to tell you about, you know, how great everything's always going to be and you're not going to lose your job and you're not going to lose your house. And of course, you know, preachers always like to attach that with, as long as you're faithful to give to the church, then God's going to take care of you, of course, right? Well, I don't know that. When I read my Bible and when I read a history and Christian history of true people that followed Jesus Christ, actually what you find is what Jesus Christ said was true. In the world you shall have tribulation. Problems and struggles and difficulties and heartbreaks are part of living in a sinful world. I can't promise you it's going to get better. Actually, I read in my Bible over in the book of Jeremiah that God took an issue with the prophets and priests of Jeremiah's day because he said, "You're light and you're vain. You're always saying peace, peace to my people when there is no peace." He said, "You heal the hurt of the daughters of my people slightly." In other words, you help them just kind of a little bit, but the problem is what you give them just helps them for Sunday morning. What you give them just helps them for that moment. What you're giving them does not prepare them for life. What you're giving them does not prepare them for attacks from the devil. What you're giving them is not truth about themselves. You're just saying what people want you to hear because you're worried about them liking you. You're worried about your buildings getting filled. You're worried about your bills being paid. You're worried about their tithe money. You're not worried about giving those people the truth so that they can draw closer to me. And God has an issue with preachers that are light and vain. So sometimes the message is a little bit heavier. God help me, as long as God gives me breath in my lungs and a book to preach from and a place to preach it, I'm going to preach the way God wants me to preach. And I'm going to preach in such a way that by God's grace I can actually help you. I cannot help you by always telling you what you want to hear. The reality is, it's a tough world. I wish I had a different message. The reality is, bad things happen to good people. The reality is, you don't serve Jesus Christ because you want to get something out of him. The reality is, we serve Jesus Christ because we love him. We serve Jesus Christ because he saved us. We serve Jesus Christ because we want to serve him. And the reality is this: if you and I are going to produce fruit in our lives for Jesus Christ, you want to produce fruit, right? Listen, I don't want to be the same man next year that I am this year. I was recently talking to somebody and they said to me, "I know what you used to be." And then I don't think they meant it in a mean way, but it was just like, "I remember you when you were younger." And that, you know, that kind of hurt. Because the truth of what I used to be is not so good. And I'm just glad today that Jesus Christ has helped me to make changes I could not make without the Lord. I promise you tonight, I could not make the changes that have been made if it was not for Jesus Christ. There is no possible way. You don't know me like I know me. Amen. And what I've found is that the Lord has to allow heaviness in my life in order for me to make the changes that I need to make to get where God wants me to go. That's good. We lost our dog yesterday. We thought he was doing better, and he was for a little while, but then Friday he went downhill, and yesterday it was horrible. We were all sitting in the garage with him. It was just horrible. I'll spare you the details, but me and Grace had to load him up, take him to the vet, and they had to put him down. He's only 6.5 years old, you know. You know, I'm always talking about my dog. He's my boy, you know what I'm saying? Quietest, gentle giant, sweetest dog you ever seen in your life. A pit bull. He is a sissy. My kids, when we brought him home, used to carry him around in a pink blanket. Turned my male dog, the only other male in the house besides me, Johnny, turned my male dog into a total sissy. And you know how he passed away? Wrapped in one of their pink blankets. He's a sweetheart, man. And I was crying over my dog. You know why I tell you that? I think it's a good thing. It's just a dog. I get that. It's not a family member. We're not treating it like it was a family member, but he did leave a hole in our house. Sure. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for the fact that I can cry. Sure. Because there was a time in my life when I literally was so hard. Literally just hard. I literally hard. I've been at funerals for family members that I loved, that I was close to, and been frustrated with myself because I couldn't cry. I remember forcing a tear out of my own eye because I felt better. I felt like something wasn't wrong with me if I could cry. I remember sitting there and looking around and watching everybody else cry and being like, you know what, there's nothing wrong with them crying, but what is wrong with me? It's the deceitfulness of sin. And I've had to learn that it's okay to cry. I've had to learn it's okay. You can still be strong and be tender and be soft. But do you want to know what God's used to teach me that? Heaviness. Heaviness. Problems. Disappointments. Heartbreaks. Can I say that God will allow heaviness in our lives? And I'm telling you, we're seeing it all over right now. It's not just this church. It's not just Michigan. It's not just the U.S., actually. There is something happening in the whole world right now that is bigger than us. I hope you understand that. There's something going on. According to the Bible, there's principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. And as we get closer to the end times, it talks about evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, nobody knows whether or not we're being deceived or not, but we all know, nobody knows what the truth is or not, but we all know we're being deceived somewhere. Yes, right? What's going on with the virus? Is it real? Is it not real? Does it go through mass? Does it not go through mass? Is it political? Is it not political? Well, if it's just political, then why is it happening around the world? If it's just about election, what about other countries? We could debate all day long, and none of us really know the answers, and our elected officials don't even seem to know the answers, if you haven't noticed. Yes, very intelligent, very educated people with the best advisors on the planet and the brightest minds on the planet are both arguing with each other about how to handle everything and what's really going on. So the answers are not going to be found. The more you try to find the answers in this world, the more frustrated you're going to be. And I'll tell you, if the Bible's true, it's not going to get better according to that book. It's going to get worse. I don't like that message. I'm fed up. I'm tired of it. It hasn't just been 2020 and all that's going on, but in your personal lives, we could talk about different people that, and when the heaviness is already there, then more problems happen, right? I mean, we have people in this room right now with problems they're not sharing with everybody else. Difficulties, struggles, disappointments, heartbreaks, uncertain futures, waiting for answers from the doctor, not sure what's going on. I mean, here we were on Monday. I had to go out and visit my uncle at the hospital, who had an emergency surgery because his situation with a scar tissue. He doesn't have a wife. He doesn't have kids. He's been there for me my whole life. So I'm going out there to visit my uncle. I'm there sitting with him. Nobody else is there for him all the way in until he gets taken into surgery. I'm on my way back. I get a call from Grace. The vet said to bring Sarge in right now. This was Monday. Vet said, bring Sarge in right now. They don't like the symptoms. I'm like, well, I'm all the way out here at the hospital. So she ran home to get the dog. I'm going to meet her at the vet with the dog. Getting off the exit, she calls me back. Hey, my dad's on his way to the ER. You ever notice it's just how it kind of tends to work? When it rains, it pours. Well, we thought it was good news, and we're taking Sarge to go get him put down. And as we're loading Sarge in the car to get him put down yesterday, she gets a text from her dad. Hey, they got my MRI results back. They were overlooking something. Not sure what it is. We're not going to say what it is. But when we looked up what it could be, it may not be a very good thing at all. That's how it is. I'm not crying and wanting anybody to feel sorry for me today. I'm saying that we all have things that go on in our lives. And it seems like sometimes they all come kind of at the same time. I want to encourage you in just a minute, but right now we have to understand what happens and how it works. Because if we don't understand what happens and how it works, then we miss the point. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 7 that the Antichrist is going to come and he's going to seek in the tribulation period. You're not going to be here for it. He's going to come and he's going to seek to wear out the saints. You know what he wants to do? He wants to put pressure on you to wear you down. The Bible talks about your walk with Jesus Christ in a few different examples, in a few different lights. One of those examples is a wrestling match. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And it's used throughout the Bible. Jacob wrestled with the angel. It's also likened to a military drill or fighting in war. It's also likened to running a race. You know what a good wrestler knows? Pressure will wear the other person down. You put the pressure on and you keep the pressure on, and if you are stronger and can put on more pressure for a longer period of time, he's going to wear down and you can win the match. You know what the devil knows? You and I have a finite amount of energy. He knows that the pressure gets to us with time. Most of the time, Christians don't quit because of one or two things that happened. Most of the time, the reason people quit, get discouraged, stop reading their Bible, stop praying, stop going to church, is because of over the long haul, the pressure builds up. And when there's a pressure like what's going on in the world right now that is literally unprecedented, at least in our lifetime, for sure. When there's this much pressure, over time, the devil knows he can wear you down. So now you add normal things that happen to people like dogs dying and bad doctor's reports and worries about your parents getting older. All of a sudden, I'm getting emails from old folks' home saying, Mike, are your parents taken care of? I'm like, man, I must be over the hill because I'm getting these dumb emails now. And there's a whole new set of concerns and problems that come as you go through the different stages of life. This is reality. This is how it works. The problem is if we don't understand how our adversary works, then we can get very discouraged and then we quit before the good comes out of what's going on. I told you I'd turn positive before long. Because that pressure that the devil wants to use to make you quit is the exact same pressure the Lord Jesus Christ will use to make you stronger. It is the heaviness that God has put on me in my life. And I'm not going to go into detail, but the heaviness that God has put on you in your life. Your circumstances are different than mine, but God has allowed certain things in your life, just like He's allowed certain things in my life, because God is working on me to make me more like Jesus Christ, and God is working on you to do the same. So the pressures that you have, you need, and God will not allow you to get crushed by them. If you stay with God, you know what will happen? You'll come out stronger. I don't know if you've ever heard of time under tension, progressive overload. You know what those things do? They create strength. You can't have strength without pressure. You have to experience pressure to ever produce the power. And you have to know misery in order to ever be able to know ministry. I can't help people if I don't know what it feels like to hurt. I can't genuinely point people to Jesus Christ if I haven't ever found in Jesus Christ what I needed in my moment. So the heaviness comes in our life. If you would go to 1 Peter chapter number 1, please. Don't worry, all that was introduction. We'll be done in 5 hours. Stop it, Jesse. 1 Peter chapter number 1, and look at verse number 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, watch it, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You know what he just said? He said, church, I want you to know that for a season, there's a need. And the need is heaviness. From what? Manifold temptations. I want to submit to you this morning that maybe in all the bad that we're seeing around us, maybe in all the insecurities, maybe in all the things that have us so rattled and so frustrated and actually get us to the point where sometimes we're just discouraged. Discouraged enough to stay home from church. Discouraged enough not to pick up our Bible. Discouraged enough not to pray. Maybe in those things, God is working something because He knows what the church needs at this time. We have had nothing but blessings in this country for a very long time. God has been good to us. And you know what you've seen in this nation among Christians? That God has blessed a lack of desire for Jesus Christ, a lack of passion for our Savior, a lack of desire for truth. It's like the blessings make us so spoiled that we become apathetic, which is the most demonic thing we can be. We like to look at people that struggle with drugs and with alcohol and all the other sins of the world, and we think, wow, that's just horrible. Look what the devil did to their life. And I submit to you that that usually is not the devil, that's the flesh. I think the most powerful tool the devil uses is to cause you to lack interest in Jesus Christ, to cause you to lack interest in your Bible, to cause you to lack interest in prayer, to cause you to lack interest in ministering to somebody else that has a need. That lack of interest, that apathy, that lack of desire to sing those hymns and to lift up the name of Jesus Christ is probably the most demonic place a person can wind up being. And it's the heavy times. It's the difficult times that turn us back to Jesus Christ. Yes, it's amazing the amount of conversations that I've been able to have with people that don't know the Lord or maybe are backslidden on the Lord because of the heaviness in the world. While we're all focused on what the devil's doing and how bad everything is going and the politics and the this and the that, we're missing a golden opportunity to see that God Almighty is working. And I'm here to tell you this morning, church, God is working on Bible Believers Church of South Lyon. God is working in this place. And I'm happy that He's working. I'm not looking around at who hasn't come back yet because of the virus. I'm not looking around at whether or not, hey, at least now we don't have to worry about an addition for a couple months. Amen? Look at the bright side. What I realize is that God is still working, and I don't want you to quit. I don't want you to give up. I want you to realize that we have a purpose here, and our purpose is fine. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God Almighty right now. Jesus Christ is alive and well. He ain't all rattled up about a virus. He's got a treasures on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. He ain't worried about keeping on the lights in heaven. He is the light of heaven, and if He's your Savior, He's going to be a light in your soul. It's going to be all right. You got the Lord, you got everything. Amen. So we can make it through this little bit of a storm and come out the other side better off if you don't quit. If you quit, you fell prey to the clutches of Lucifer himself. But if you don't quit, God's going to bring us through this thing and make us better off because of it. Can I say something kind of might sound harsh? For my kids' sake, I'm glad this stuff's happening. You say, why? Because I want my children to have some depth to them. I don't want to raise four. I mean, look at how beautiful they are. It's easy for beautiful girls just to be shallow. I'm getting my points this morning, amen? I got to go home to five girls with no boys. The Sarge is gone, so I need my points, amen? It's real easy for us to get real shallow when everything's good. Anna came out of that surgery, and she's down in the nursery, so I can talk about her. About a month afterwards, and she couldn't walk for a long time and all that stuff. Incredible amount of pain she was in. You know what she said? She said, Dad, I feel different. So what do you mean? She said, I just feel different. I don't know. I don't know what to explain. It's in here. I said, you are different, honey. Hard times grow us up. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for the fact that I know if I drop dead today, if this world goes wild, I know where I'm going. Amen. We had a pretty heavy dinner last night. We're all sitting around the kitchen table and tears are coming off and on for our little boy, you know. And I remember sitting there looking around watching them all. I'm glad they're all sad because of the dog. It's okay. I know it's pathetic. Some people that aren't dog people think it's silly. Well, I'm not trying to be overly sappy, especially for our visitors. I'm sorry. I'm not usually like this. We're sitting around there and they're all crying. You know what? I was sitting there and I said, Lord, thank you. It's not one of my little girls. Thank you. It's not my wife. I said, Lord, you know I'm having a hard time with my dog. I can't live without my wife and my girls. Heavy times will cause you to think about what really does and doesn't matter and let you bring everything kind of into focus. Can I tell you something that really matters? Every one of those little girls has trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And my wife has trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And I know where they're going if they do die. And that means everything. Because I'm getting older much faster than I thought I'd ever get old. I told you Sunday night, a preacher saw me, ain't seen me in a while, and he said I had to do a double take. Last time I saw Brother Reagan, he had a baby face. Now he's got gray hair and wrinkles everywhere. Well, truth hurts, man. You know what matters?
that they're going to heaven when they die. You know what this passage, he's talking to them about their salvation in Jesus Christ. He says in verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God through what? Sanctification of the Spirit. See the capital S? That's God's Spirit. Unto what? Obedience. And the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now watch. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. In other words, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, no matter what happens in this world around us, even if it snows on November 1st, don't look out the window. You know what you got? You got enough grace and enough peace from the Lord Jesus Christ to multiply to meet your need. That's a blessing. I want you to know, look at verse 18, I want you to know where your salvation comes from. He says, for as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know what he said right there? He tells you how you got saved. You know what the false priests and the false prophets are going to do? They're going to keep you heavy about where your soul's going. You know what you needed? You needed heaviness about your soul. You know why you came to church and kept coming back to church and stood there and talked to us in the lobby at that funeral?
Yes, sir.
Because there was heaviness going on in your heart.
Yes, sir.
You knew you were a sinner. You knew you needed Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what the answers were. But something inside of you is telling you you hadn't found what you needed yet.
Yes, sir.
That's heaviness. The problem with vain light preachers is they don't want to offend anybody. So what they're going to do is, well, you're a good person. If your good outweighs your bad, if you give money to the church, if you come faithfully, what are they doing? They're saying, we don't know for sure where we're going until we get there. So if your life between here and there is all these things that benefit my church, then maybe when you get there, God's going to accept you. You know what that is? That's a lying snake. I'd rather hang out with a crack dealer or a heroin dealer than a preacher that's like that. That's no character at all. All he wants is your money. At least with a crack dealer, you know what you're dealing with. You pay him up or he's going to shoot you in the head. Fair enough. I know what to do to stay alive. With a snake like that that will manipulate people to get him in their church, that ain't a man of God. That ain't what God says his preachers and his prophets ought to be. You know what people need? They need to feel the heaviness of sin. I felt the heaviness of sin when I was 5 years old. Five. There was a preacher preaching that was a real preacher. And it scared me half to death. I'll never forget. He's drawing. He's a would do chalk talks while he preached. And he's drawing a picture of souls getting cast into hell. And he was making those black flames, that smoke coming up out of those flames with his fingers. He had black chalk all over his hands. You know what he was? He was an ex-army vet, drill instructor. He taught hand-to-hand combat. He was a roughneck when he got saved, a mess. And he was a real man. And you know what a five-year-old little boy knew the difference between these pansy preachers and a real preacher? And it's not about being a tough guy in the flesh. It's about something that was in his gut. And he was turning around. He was holding his hand like that. He said, if you ain't saved, you're going to fry like a sausage. He had that growly, nasty voice, man. And I was like, yeah, he's right. My parents won't quit beating me all the time because I'm always in trouble. I'm a wicked sinner. And you know what I felt? The heaviness of my sin. And you know what I realized? Silver, gold can't save me. The fact that my parents took me to church can't save me. Nothing. The traditions of the fathers, the traditions. Don't break our traditions. What is that other than manipulation? I'm not raising my kids to not break my traditions. I'm raising my kids to think for themselves and know the truth. And to make their own decisions between them and God. You know what you and I need? We need the pure blood of Jesus Christ to wash away our sins. That's so much all over the Bible that you can't miss it with a spotlight. And yet religions all over miss it. You know why? Their motive is your money. You know what that book says? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
You know what Johnny had in his heaviness? Skull cap was off. That's why he's wearing his hat in church. He don't want you to see his skull. He shouldn't be here. He should be dead. You know what he had when he didn't even have his mind? He didn't know who most people were. He still knew he was saved. come in there to visit him, his Bible is sitting up there on the shelf, and you point to the Bible. Say, you know who I am? The nurse would say, Johnny, do you know who this is? That's Pastor Mike. It wasn't me. It was the Spirit of God in him. He said, you know what he said to those nurses? He'll give you the true gospel.
Amen.
Give her the gospel. All right, Johnny. In your heaviness, you know what will never leave you? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'll never leave you or forsake you. Folks, I cannot understand that kind of love. He sticks with us. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know what I got in my heaviness? I still have my Savior. You know what I got in my pain? I still have His presence. And when I have Jesus Christ, I literally have everything. What more do I need? Oh, I need this. I need my wife. You better believe I need my wife. And I broke my ribs and didn't go to the hospital. And then after a week, my blood pressure was all jacked up. You know the story. And so I went in and getting checked in. My doctor sent me in. I didn't want to go in. Went to the ER. They're going to do all the work. And we got there and they said, I'm sorry, but you can't go with him. And Grace was like in shock. Like, I've never left him ever. I can't go back there. We don't know what's going on. And the lady said to me, unless it's like a mental health or something like that, and there's almost very rare exceptions, I said, are you kidding me? She is my mental health. I'm going to lose it if she's not back there. The poor girl like, took a couple steps back. Like, I guess my eyes looked like I was going to lose it, you know what I mean? I need my wife. I need my kids. But you know, it's a cruel world. You know what I know will always be here? Jesus Christ. What I have this morning is so real. I'm not playing church. I'm not playing pastor. I'm not playing minister. I wouldn't do this one more second if it wasn't real. I mean, literally, one more second. I'd be like, you guys are on your own, man. Find somebody. You're great people. You'll find a guy. You don't know how many guys would love to take my spot. You're a great church. But I would not get up here and present myself as a man representing Jesus Christ or His Word if I didn't know Him personally, know how good He's been to me, and know how much He loves me, know how much He's put up with me. You don't know the whole story. Somebody asked me recently how it was I wound up here. He said, I remember when you came to Hope. You know what my answer was? Because I didn't know how to answer him at first. You know what? We don't have time this morning because I'm going to wrap up soon. But I was so far gone, spiritually speaking. After my first church in Illinois and that thing, how that all went, and we went back to Ohio, and I was done. I know what it feels like, that heaviness. I know what it feels like to be crushed. I was done. And I was mad at God and mad at her and mad at Anna because I wanted for years to quit. I wanted to say, forget this junk, man. I've seen too much among Christians and too much that doesn't make sense and too much foolishness among preachers and all this garbage. I'm just done with it all. But I was mad because I met her at Bible college and it wasn't fair to her if I quit on God now. And I was mad because I was looking at that little girl, big old blue eyes, and cheeks just swole out like a chipmunk, man. She waddled everywhere she went. If we wanted to stop the bathtub, we just set her on it. It couldn't leak, man. She was just a chubby little thing. little blonde pigtails coming out the side like that. And she was full of life, man. I mean, just happy all the time. Walk in the morning, I say, what's your story, Morning Glory? And she'd start kicking her feet and her hands and like, she was my life, man. And now I knew that I can't drop out of church. Now she needs a dad that knows the Lord and can help her through this stinking world, through this heavy world. And I was mad at him. I was mad at all of them and God because I wanted to quit. And now I got all the excuses I need to quit because of all this mess going on around me. And now I'm strapped with this wife and kid. Because I knew that my family needs the Lord as bad as I needed him. A preacher said to me, how did you wind up where you're at? I mean, what worked? What clicked in you to get you right with God? I was preaching backslidden. I was going to the jails, preaching in the jails. I wasn't even studying. I was going in and grabbing outlines I'd already done before and just walking in there and preaching and walking back out because they asked me to preach in the jails. I said, sure. Going preaching backslid, and it was weird because people get saved. Sit there preaching to thugs and everything else, and I was mad, man. I didn't care if they liked me or didn't like me. I wanted to fight everybody I looked at. And I'd preach the gospel, and they'd be, hey, man, I need to talk to you. Oh, crap, really? And he'd get saved, and I get in the car, and I feel such a dog. I'm like, oh, I'm such a horrible person. How can I be doing this? You know what I didn't understand? Why God didn't give up on me.
Amen.
That's what I didn't understand. That's what I still can't understand. Because you have no idea how heavy it is to have that pulpit. How heavy it is to carry that Bible and try to minister to people that are hurting. And be there for people when they need me. And to care and have compassion. And help people that messed up their own lives because it's your own fault. Well, who among us hasn't messed up our life because it's our fault?
Amen, brother.
I don't need that when I'm down. I need somebody to pick me up.
Amen.
Now I'm tough enough on myself. You have no idea. People nowadays need a hand up.
Yes, sir.
And what I realized recently was that God Almighty loved me enough to give me a hand up.
Yes, sir.
When I didn't deserve it.
Yes,
you know what it's called? Mercy. How can somebody so powerful that he can create the worlds by speaking them into existence? Make the stars also just poof, there it is, man. That power. Bring himself all the way down here to somebody like me and be so soft at the same time that he loves me in spite of me. You know, if you got heaviness this morning, but you got Jesus, you got everything you need to get you through your heaviness. A couple more things real quick and we'll go. Not only am I glad I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I have to realize that there's a purpose and a plan to what God is doing in my heaviness. Verse 4, to inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know what we need to remember? There's an inheritance waiting for us. This world is not my home. And the things that I do in this world don't always have a monetary connection to them. You realize sometimes I do something for the Lord to help somebody else out, to be a blessing, to follow God and do right because it's right to do, not because I feel like it. Think I always feel like doing right? If you say you always feel like doing right, I know you're a slap liar. You ever do right because it's right to do? And then have the devil come over and get in your head and say, look at you, you hypocrite. Well, maybe I'm a hypocrite. Maybe I'm just a struggling sinner like everybody else and I'm trying to do the best I know how to do. And you know what I believe with all my heart that Bible teaches? When you do right because it's right to do for the glory of God, you get an inheritance in the heavens. You get treasure being laid up for you. This world is not what it's all about. This thing comes and goes so fast. It's not even funny. I mean, you blink twice and you're over the hill and blink two more times and you're looking at the end, man. It's amazing how fast it goes. I'm glad that this is not what it's all about. There's something bigger worth living for. There's something on the other side that'll get us into eternity. Hey, I'm laying up treasure in heaven where moth and rust can't corrupt, where thieves can't break through and steal. I'm glad I got something secure and it ain't in this world, it's on the other side. You got to remember there's a reason for what you're going through. You know what happens to a Christian who stays faithful in their heaviness? God Almighty is glorified. Do you remember Jesus Christ in the garden? You remember the Bible says that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood as he knelt down and he was praying and he's begging God, if there was another way, God, if there's another way, can you do it another way? The way he was talking about was he had to become sin for us who knew no sin. How is salvation through Jesus Christ? How is it that Jesus Christ, God's Son, can wash away my sins when nothing else can do it? No man can do it. You can't come to me and confess your sin and think that I say these prayers and you'll be forgiven. I don't have the power to forgive my own sins. I struggle keeping myself under control. If you haven't noticed, by the way, I preach, amen. I can't forgive your sins. Only Jesus Christ can do it. Why? Because he lived the perfect life for us. And he knew that he was going to become sin on the cross of Calvary for us. God said that he literally traded places. He became sin for us who knew no sin. That's Jesus. That we, the sinners, could be made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
He did not want to drink of the cup of sin. The pressure was on Jesus Christ so bad that literally a medical condition where your body begins to sweat blood through your pores. There's blood mingled into the sweat. That is an extreme situation, a real medical condition. He was under pressure that defies the imagination. And you know what he did going through that pressure? He stayed faithful to his Father and submitted his will to the Father's will, was willing to bear his cross so that he could bring glory to the Father. And then he says, take up your cross and follow me, Christian. So who told you the Christian life was a cakewalk and supposed to be a cakewalk? That was some charlatan preacher on TV or something. That wasn't a Bible preacher. You can't find that in the Bible. Your Savior didn't get a cakewalk. But you know what he did? He glorified his Father. And you know what's been going on now for 2,000 years? It's all over. And the Father's glorified him. I mean, picked him up, exalted him so much that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God's highly exalted him. Why? Because of the little bit of pressure he went through for a short period of time. He gets exalted for all of eternity. Can I say this, Christian? When God sees you in your struggles, in your temptation, in your heaviness, and he sees you turning to him in your heaviness and not giving up, he gets glory out of that. He loves you for it. And he is going to bless you for being faithful through the heaviness. It ain't time to quit. It's time to draw closer to Jesus Christ. It's time to get more serious about the Lord. It's time to find grace and peace multiplied to us in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Ain't time to quit. I remember going in there to Anna's surgery, and once she came out, I'm sorry if I'm a little bit, I'm thinking of all the, I don't know what's the word, nostalgic or whatever it is, I don't know this morning. We're sitting there after her surgery, and man, she was so tough. She was just great, man. She was trying so hard not to show the pain, and they'd say, are you on a scale of 1 to 10, what are you? She'd say, oh, I don't know, a 4. And Grace is like, honey, you are not a 4. Well, I don't know how to judge. What's a 4? What's a 10? I don't know. She's sitting there with her Bible open on her lap, reading her Bible, and the nurse walked in and she said, now you never see that, a 16-year-old reading her Bible. You know what blew me away? I'm not trying to lift my family up. I've never done that. I hope you know that this morning. I'm sorry. But it blew me away to watch my little girl in her pain try to be sweet. The nurse would come in, how are you doing, honey? She'd say, I'm fine, how are you doing? She'd say, it's not about me right now, honey, it's about you. She, oh no. The physical therapist came in and she said, well, I've been hearing all about you all down the floor. She said, don't tell anybody this, but there's a big old tough guy a couple rooms up, had a similar surgery to you, and he's been such a baby, and I heard you're a real champ. They told me this one was going to be easy. What's the point? As a daddy, you know, I might not have any sons, but I was pretty proud of my little daughter, man. She stands on her tiptoes to hit 5 feet, and you know, but she's tough as nails. I'm like, that's my girl. You know what I was proud of? I was proud of the way she handled her pain. I was really proud of the way she handled her pain. And you know what I couldn't help but think? Lord, I've been in pain before. Sometimes I've tried to handle it right, sometimes I haven't. I'm really sorry for all the times that I was in pain and I grumbled and complained and got an attitude and got mad at you and got mad at life and got bitter and got mean and got nasty and got jaded, got hard. Lord, I want to be able to handle my pain in a way that makes you proud of me. In a way that makes other people say, you know what that guy's got must be real because something's different about him. He doesn't react to his pain like most other people react to their pain. I'm talking about Bearing up under the heaviness and looking to God so you can please Him when you're depressed, so you can please Him when you're struggled, and not quitting to bring Him glory because it makes Him happy to see you staying faithful. You realize what a big deal it is to just be faithful? Last thing, and we're done. Look at verse 6. He said, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." You know what I found funny about that? He said, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice." Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. When we're talking about trials, we're talking about disappointment, we're talking about struggles. He said, "You people are greatly rejoicing in your trouble." How do we get there? This year has been the craziest year of my life. I mean, you've heard all my little dumb stories and kids' surgery and Coco's eye popping out, and it just it's just like never. It's like we're looking at each other like the other day, yesterday I think it was, we looked at each other like, this year has been like completely the worst ever. Excuse me, like this is crazy. This just doesn't seem to stop. Yeah, it's been a weird one. But can I tell you something this morning? I mean this from my heart. I am happy. I'm happy. I don't know what the future holds, but I'm happy. How am I happy? Because the Mike Reagan I know, the harder things get, the meaner I get. Put something in me. Just, you can't explain it. And instead of getting that way, I just feel like, you know what? God, I'm not sure what you're doing, but I've served you long enough now to be able to look back and realize that you do things at times like this. And God, I don't want to miss what the next 10 years has. I don't know that the solution's going to be tomorrow. But I'm happy that I got a God in heaven who has tried me before and got me through. And if He's trying me again, I want Him to get me through. Because there's no life on the planet like the life given to Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm done. Think about your biggest dream. If I had, my life would be fulfilled. What is it? $10 million. Me and God have had a deal for a long time. If He ever gives me that kind of money, I'll tithe it. You know what He said so far? No. You know what I know for sure? As a joke, three of you got it. Thank you. You know what I know? I know that no matter what you get in this life, there's literally no guarantees. I've counseled enough people through problems, through hard times, through their heaviness, to realize there are no guarantees. If you put all your hope into the things of this world, you are going to be disappointed, and it's going to happen faster than you think. If all you've got is the pleasures of this life, you've got nothing. You know, I could be smart and save my money and have a retirement all set, and then the economy could crash and the money that I got isn't even worth what it used to be worth. Wheelbarrows full of money go buy you a loaf of bread. You don't know what tomorrow holds, and neither do I. But you know what I do know? I know who holds tomorrow. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I've got Him and I got His Word, and I got a place I can come where He speaks to my heart, He'll get me through anything that happens in my life. And so I can rejoice in my trials because what God is doing in my life through the pressure, through the heaviness, is He's trying to get out some of the things that need to be gone. I am not happy with the man that I am. I realize right now that there's a lot of people that would be here this morning that aren't here anymore. A lot. If I had learned years ago to get rid of some of the things that is Mike Reagan and be a better minister of the Word of God to help people when they need help. And I feel bad about that. But I'm still here. The Lord's still putting up with me. And I want the heaviness and the trials that He gives me to help me get rid of some of those things in my life that just need to go because they get in the Lord's way and they get in other people's way and they're not glorifying to my Savior. They're not getting me more like my Lord Jesus Christ. And so this pressure and the heaviness that's going on in our world, if you're allowing it to be used of God to draw you closer to Jesus Christ, it's going to work out for your joy. In other words, we shouldn't be dragging ourselves into church. How you doing? Good. It's crazy out there, ain't it? Yeah, it's a crazy world. Glad I got the Lord. Glad the Lord's got me. Glad the Lord's still working on me to make me something that I'm not yet. I want to get better. I don't want to get bitter. I want to get better. And God has always used heaviness in my life to get me better. The heaviness doesn't stay forever. But if you miss what He's trying to teach you in the heaviness, you'll still be the same old person year after year, and as time goes on, you'll get worse. You ever meet a cranky old person? Nobody wants to be around them. Mean, nasty. What happened? You ever meet a sweet old person? There's one in back this morning during the song service putting her hand up like that. Praising the Lord, smile on her face. Saved longer than most of us have been alive. What's the difference? You know what the difference is? Your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, getting you through the heavy times and allowing that pressure to create strength and get rid of the things that come in the way of the Lord. Let's stand to our feet this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.